Okay.
You okay?
My chabura inspired me to speak about this point just for a few minutes. I don't want to go late. This Parsha's Bo, is it's Bo. It's Bo.
We just learned that.
Good. Proof. Parsha's Bo is the Parsha where we officially become Am Yisrael and a free people. The process began in last week's Parsha, and it is brought to, not completion, but it is brought into reality in this week's Parsha. And as the Parsha is ending, and the last of the Makos are taking place, there's a very interesting monologue, I don't know how you would say it, where God basically says through Moshe, the psukim that we use when we read it in the Haggadah Shel Pesach. And it specifically comes up by the four sons, right? The Chacham, the Rasha, the Tam, the Sheina, the Elishol. We basically point out that they each ask four different questions, and we answer them differently. It happens to be that two of them we answer the same way. But we have the words in this week's Parsha, V'higata televincha bayomahu leimor. And, where is it? I just had it here. Why am I missing it here? And you should tell your child on that day, your son, it is because of this that God did for me when we were leaving Mitzrayim. And then, just a few psukim later, in the very same parak, it says, and if your son asks on the next day, Mazos, what's going on here? And you say, and it's because the Torah, four different times, has this weird phraseology of a child asking you, or you having to answer your child, that this idea is developed in the Haggadah of the four different types of kids that ask. And as you may know, one of the central themes of the Seder night is asking questions. There's, of course, the four questions. There's these four children who ask questions. There's a whole bunch of stuff that is inserted into the evening. For what reason? Just so that the kids would ask. It's one of my favorite answers for when someone asks me a question that I can't answer. It's so that the children will ask. Right? We dip a celery piece into salt water and we eat it for no reason. It's kind of funny because one of the classic answers for why we do that is just to mix it up a little so that the kids will say, what's going on? Now the problem is they didn't give us an answer, those rabbis. So then we say, I'm glad you asked that, son. Let me check what it says here. I don't know. It's just strange. We're Jews and we're strange, right? We do the chicken thing over our heads. We do some celery and salt water. We're strange. Now, why are we doing stuff like that? Why is there so many questions? And obviously, the Seder night of Pesach revolves around the story that we are involved in this week's Parsha, Parsha's Bo, of leaving the tribe. Why are there so many questions? Why is God assuming that, right, as if it's a foregone conclusion that your son's going to ask you what's going on here? What if your son has a pretty good idea of what's going on here? Why are we assuming otherwise? So there's a classic answer, which is really two answers. I'm only going to mention one. And it's definitely one of the guiding philosophies of my chabura, or at least the manner in which I choose to give it, which is sometimes to my own detriment, which is that we live by questions, by asking. The way that we guide our lives is in a state of asking questions and searching for answers. Now, it's an interesting thing to value questions. Again, think about the idea of the rabbis wanting your kid to look at something, be weirded out by it, and ask a question, and that's the only reason we do it. That must mean that there's some inherent value in asking a question without needing to give a great answer, because we kind of don't know the answer, right? Now, asking a question is kind of going away from your comfort zone. It's saying, everything's good, wait, no, something's not good, something's not okay. There's a question. And now I need to go and search and find an answer. For those that were in my chabura, sounds eerily similar to the journey that our soul takes. We're in a good place, and we're like, oh wait, no. Now there's a lot of confusion and darkness. I don't even know what Olam Haba is, or if God exists, or where hell is. And now I have to figure out all these answers, and then I go back to that comfort zone of where everything makes sense and where there's clarity. So this is also the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Jews in Eretz Yisrael leave confusion, darkness, destruction, suffering, pain. And then we have the process of searching for the answer, which is parallel to the process of the redemption. And for some reason, there is value in that question zone, in the part where everything is not okay, in the part where we have to struggle and figure something out and search for it. That there's some sort of goodness. Wouldn't it be better if we just knew all the answers, right? Can't we just download the answers, and then we don't have to have any more questions? This is essentially what the world is trying to do. Figure out how to not have any more questions in your life, right? Isn't that like Wikipedia's goal? Just don't ever be in a state where you don't know something or can't find it out in 5 seconds. So perhaps one of the important messages here, and maybe specifically, although I didn't think this out too much yet, maybe specifically as the Jewish people were leaving Mitzrayim, which is the end of this week's Parsha, when there was intense clarity in a way that they have never experienced before, where it was so clear to them that there was a God, and He chose them, and He was leading them out of exile into a state of redemption, where they are free to serve Him, to be a light into the world, to lead, to fulfill this amazing destiny. Maybe it's at that point where God says, there's going to be some questions that you're going to have. And I'm not just doing this whole redemption thing so that you could just be comfortable for the rest of your lives, so that you could just live in a point where you just have all the answers and you don't have to struggle in any dimension of your life. But it's maybe right here where I have to remind you that the process of existence, literally, again, the process of our soul leaving heaven to go down here and then go back, is a process where we search and we leave our comfort zone with the goal of finding our way back. And if you think I'm taking you out just so that you could sit, you know, in a beanbag chair for the rest of history, you're wrong. The point is that this is your beginning of your search. And you're constantly going to be on a search. And if you ever find that you're not really searching, then you have to check yourself and make sure that you're on the right path. Or maybe
don't
you just
wreck yourself.
Right. Is an often used phrase in other contexts. But you got to check to see. Maybe I just fell off the path completely because I'm not even searching for something. True story, a student who lives locally in my neighborhood, who is not a student of mine, just someone that has attended classes and stuff like that, asked to meet with me, and she's in her already closer to her mid-20s. She's been out of regular college. She's doing like master's program. She's actually very busy. And she found that due to her busyness and to her being a very active, single, 20-something-year-old, her spiritual vitality has kind of dropped off a bit. It's been a while since she's been in seminary. And she felt, she had an interesting way of putting it. She felt bad that she was struggling with it, because she used to not struggle with finding meaning in Judaism, in God. And she also, obviously, was hoping to find what she was struggling with, you know, find that meaning again. Meaning, it was two dimensions. She felt bad that she was even struggling, and even without that, she wanted to resolve that issue. And my answer to her was, and she said she was in pain. She like broke down a little in the middle, which was quite amazing to me that this was bothering her that much. And I said, I am so happy to see that you're struggling with this, which is probably the last thing that she wanted to hear coming from a rabbi's mouth who she came, spent time to like come and ask. But I'm like, you're in excellent company. You're in excellent, excellent company of Jews. Go all the way back to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who had very large spiritual questions, who did not have answers easily. Usually their lives involved being pushed further away from God, only to have to work harder to get themselves back. And it seems like God liked that formula, and he applied it to basically everyone he cared about in history, which is poking at them and pushing them and sending them out of their comfort zone with the goal of having them try and find their way back. Yaakov Avinu, we know, was a guy who just sat in his comfort zone in his little Beis Medrash, and God threw him out of there and said, you're going to lead a very interesting life, way out of your comfort zone, doing things you didn't even know you were capable of doing, and it's because I want you to be the model of the Jewish people. I want them to be named after you, B'nai Yisrael, to be the people that are pushed way out of their comfort zone and have to find their way back. And this is all found in this idea of V'haya ki yishalcha bincha, when you ask. When, not if. When. Because if you're a Jew, or if your parents are Jewish and you're grown up in their home, then you need to be asking questions. Then you can't be comfortable with whatever you heard from someone, or whatever you think might be okay or not, but then 2 seconds later be distracted and it not be such a big problem in your life. You need to be bothered with these questions. And the best possible thing that you could have in your life is a question that isn't yet answered. Because then you know that you're still on the right path. That's where you're headed in the right direction. Sorry, in the right direction. So I don't even want to give you a bracha that you find the answer. I hope you do. It would be nice. It does feel good when you find the answer. But know that if you're incredibly bothered by something, so much so that you don't really feel like you want to keep looking for the answer, then I would say, perfect. Good. So keep looking. Because it's there. But if it's not there, then know that you're doing exactly what our parents did and their parents did all the way back to this week's parsha that we read about, the first people called the Jewish people who struggled with these questions. Hopefully we'll continue along that path. All right.